Well, welcome everyone that are watching on YouTube, Facebook, the church website, and of course on the church app, as well as our listening audience on AM 570 and FM 102.3. It's always a joy to be with you. As you know, we have been meeting online through this quarantine, and we are so happy to tell you that we're going to continue to have services online, but starting next week on June the 28th, we will be meeting and having in-person services, more logistics and details to come, but we're so grateful for that opportunity. And I wanted to say right from the start, thank you for your faithfulness throughout these weeks, but we're overjoyed that we're going to be able to be together in person. Speaking of which, it is a joy each week to come into your home, especially today on Father's Day. And I want to talk with you about having an undivided heart. And certainly I could relate to this statement here that as a father, you want your children to be successful, to be healthy, to follow a good path in life. And most importantly, as the Bible says, to walk with God. And all of that comes down to having an undivided heart. It's vital in our life that we have that understanding. And the scriptures tell us that having an undivided heart is something that ultimately we need to seek God for and have a teachable heart. Take notice of what it says. It's Psalm 86, verse 11. This is what the psalmist says. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. One of my favorite verses that I've committed to memories over the years. It's so very important that we have an undivided heart, but we got to go to God for strength and how to do that. And so in order to go to God to do that, obviously prayer, but also his word. And so today we're going to be chronicling a couple of fathers in the Old Testament and see how very important it is to have an undivided heart before God and how that truly leads to blessing and peace in this life as well as God's approval. Now, at Crossroads over the years, I've had a tradition that I began, which is having Joseph read the scriptures that we're going to go through. And so I've asked him to come and read from 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2. Look how tall he's getting. Here he comes. Joe, take it away. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 1 and 2.
Abijah rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. His son Asa became king in his place. During his reign, the land experienced peace for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the sight of the Lord his God.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Joe. Now, I had Joe come up here, and I don't want to cause any problems at home. I'm going to bring Brent up here, but not physically. He's at home today, but I brought a gift that Ben made for me for Father's Day, so I'm going to wear it today. It's a tie. See, I'm getting very dressed up today, okay, for Father's Day. So I'm throwing a picture of it, too, on the screen if you can't see it, but there's little Ben with his number one dad finger on, okay? So I got Joe and Ben up here. Helping me with the Father's Day message. But, you know, having an undivided heart, certainly that's something all of us should want. And we go to this story here in 2 Chronicles, and there's a lot to go through. So let's break down these verses here and just see exactly how it works, how we are to have an undivided heart. And just think about this message right now in the context of our nation. We're very divided in our nation right now. We truly are a house divided. And remember what Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. And really, when a house is divided, ultimately it means that a heart is divided. And so we want to have a heart that is unified around the things of God, but we must go back to God's word and see exactly how to do that. And we look back at a couple of fathers here, and it starts off here in 2 Chronicles 14 by saying, Abijah rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, just what Joe had read. Now, Abijah is the son of King Rehoboam. Now, King Rehoboam is the son of who? King Solomon. Now, you might remember that the kingdom split in two. The kingdom of Israel split in two because Rehoboam was somewhat prideful. We'll get to that in a moment. Well, his son Abijah followed in his footsteps, and he actually did what was wicked in the sight of God. But his son made choices that were the opposite of his father and his grandfather. He chose to follow God. Now, look what it says here in verse 2, as Joe just read. that the land experienced peace. That's the end of verse 1. After Asa becomes king, and Asa did what was right in the sight of God, as what was just read. He did what was right in the sight of God. And so when I look at this verse here, when I think about having an undivided heart, Asa is a great example here on Father's Day because he had a father that was not a good example. Now, some of us here, you might have a father that's a good example, and that helps you along. But usually in our culture today, we blame everybody for our mistakes. We blame our parents for why we're not where we need to be in life, or why we don't have this and why we don't have that. And certainly Asa could have done that. He could have applied our popular psychology today of blame shifting on the parents, but he didn't do that. His father and his grandfather made decisions that were prideful and even wicked, but he didn't do it. Instead, he learned from those mistakes. And so here's a principle that you might want to take notice of if you're going to have an undivided heart before God. And this is what it is. Go from laying blame to learning lessons. Go from laying blame on everybody to learning lessons. It's so very important that we do that. See, if we continue to blame everybody and make excuses, we will never be the person that God has created us to be. I heard the story about a guy named Tom. He was a good guy. But Tom had a problem. He was chronically late everywhere he went. He was late to work. He was late to dinner. He was late to his children's ball games, his daughter's recital. He was even late to his own wedding going years back. Well, one of his good friends spoke into his life and said, Tom, you are known for being late. Certainly everybody runs behind schedule sometimes and is a little late, but you're always late for everything. You were even late for our fishing trip that we had to take, and I had to wind up canceling it. You need to get help. I want you to go talk to this counselor I know that helped me with some issues. And so Tom decided, okay, I'll go. So Tom goes and he speaks to this counselor, and the counselor begins to talk with him, and the counselor explains to him, Tom, perhaps you're making excuses for your lateness. Well, I had a busy day. Well, my schedule was jammed. Well, traffic. He said, Tom, if you will just own that you're the reason why you're late, that's going to begin to help you. Well, sure enough, the light went off in Tom's head. He realized that there weren't reasons for him being late. They were excuses. And he realized that he was the reason why, the excuse as to why he was late. Now, immediately, he purposed in his heart that he would fulfill his commitments and be on time to work and family and so forth. Now, it didn't happen overnight. But as a month went by, 2 months went by, Tom began to make improvements, and his family and his work were very happy. Soon after that, about 3 months later, Tom now was arriving at his commitments 15 minutes early. That's what happens when you learn lessons instead of laying blame. In our culture today, we play what somebody once said, the victim card. We're victimized all the time. And here are some victimizing statements. If you're late turning in a report, that's easy. You could just say this. I would have turned it in earlier, but my coworker was late getting me the statistics. If you lose your job, you can blame your boss and say he wasn't kind to you. He hated you. If you can't keep your promise and be where you got to be, you could say that you were too busy doing other things. Another type of blame excuse is if you fail to do your homework, you could blame it that you lost your textbook. Remember the old excuse? The dog ate my homework. And so we're this constant culture of blaming. You know, it's in our bloodstream if you think about it. Remember Adam blamed Eve and Eve, you know, blame shifted onto the serpent, back and forth they went. And then when that didn't work, they blamed God. That's how it is. We blame shift. But if we're going to learn lessons, we must be humble. Asa, at some point in his early life, purposed in his heart that he was going to learn not to repeat these mistakes. And see, that's the problem. If you don't learn from your lessons, not only will you repeat those lessons, those bad issues in your family, you'll add to them. You know, yes, you might have a parent that was an alcoholic. Yes, you might have somebody in your family line who was a criminal or somebody who's a liar, and on you go with all the different, all the negativity things. you have a choice. You could either let that define you, or you could be a person that says, I'm going to learn from that. Now, Asa learned from that. Now, again, let's go back to his family tree here. His grandfather, Rehoboam, he made foolish decisions. See, Solomon was the king, and now Rehoboam was going to be the king. The wise counsel of the older elders in Israel came to him and said to Rehoboam, you know what? Your father laid a burden on the people. You need to lay a less of a burden on the people. And Rehoboam got that advice. Well, then his friends, that's why you can't listen to your friends, will always tell you what you want to hear, okay? His friends told him, that his younger friends around his age said, you know what? You need to lay a heavier burden, basically, so they'll respect you more. Sadly, Rehoboam went with the latter advice of his younger friends. His friends led him astray. And so this is what he made this decree. He says, my father, this is in 2 Chronicles 10:14, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will use barbed whips, like barbed wire whips. Well, guess what? The people rebelled, didn't work out too well for Rehoboam. It was a foolish decision. He basically had bad discernment. Well, Asa learned from that. When he was given the opportunity, he fortified the cities. He didn't bring them down. He didn't present a burden onto people. He wanted to be a blessing to people. He wanted to bring people into the presence of God. He was more interested in seeking God's counsel than man's counsel. So Asa learned. And see, if you're going to grow, you need to learn. Yeah, maybe you didn't come from a Christian family, so to speak. You could blaze a new trail in your family. Or even if you did come from a Christian home, you could add more blessing in that respect. The fact of the matter is that you got to go from laying blame to learning lessons. And then even Asa's father, Abijah, that we read about, he actually became wicked. He forsake God. It says this here in 1 Kings 15:3, and he's referred to as Abijam and Abijah in the scripture, but it's the same man. Abijam walked in all the sins of his father before him had committed, and he was not wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord his God. In other words, he had a divided heart. Now, thankfully, Asa learned from all of that. He wasn't going to get caught up going down that road any longer, and neither could you and I. We have to grow, and we have to rise above whatever limitations that we have grown up in. Thanks be to God for our parents and our family, but we need to go further spiritually so we can pass it on to the next generation. You know, it's vital that we get out of this victim mentality. Even in our culture today, in order for us to progress, whether it is achieving justice, whether it is righting wrongs, whether it is working on reconciliation, we must realize the importance of rising to the occasion and learning lessons from our past. Because as I mentioned earlier, not only will we repeat the folly of the past, tragically, we will add and make it worse. And so we must be people who are learning, being humble before God. As we read from the top, having a teachable heart that leads to you and I not having a divided heart. And so that's where our focus needs to be. Take notice of this next principle, one that I encourage you. This is a very practical principle to commit to memory any day of the week. And here it is. Stop compromising, or compromising will stop you, okay? Very clearly, it'll stop me and it will stop you. Compromise leads to more compromise, and compromise after compromise will lead to death. Could be the death of a job, the death of school, the death of an opportunity. You need to cut it off. As we get into Asa's life, not only he broke the chain of recklessness, of foolishness, of sinfulness that he grew up in. He is now, as we mentioned earlier, blazing a new trail after God. Look what it says here now in verse 3. Not only did he do what was right in the sight of God, this gives us detail to what he did. He removed the pagan altars, verse 3 says in 2 Chronicles 14, and the high places. He shattered their sacred pillars and chop down their Asherah poles. Now, what is all this? Well, here's the short of the long. These were all articles of idolatry. See, it goes back to Solomon, his great-grandfather. Solomon was told not to intermarry with women who didn't follow God. Now, Solomon had a morality problem. We know that. But he took it a step further. He married women who practiced idolatry. And the Bible says that they turned Solomon's heart away from God. Solomon, the man with all the wisdom, had a divided heart. And see, right now, you could be listening and watching, and you could think, man, I got all this wisdom. I got all these years of spirituality under my belt. I'm okay, Ray. No. Even Solomon left himself vulnerable. And so you can be a very wise person in the faith. But if you have and allow people to contaminate your heart, it will divide your heart, just like what happened with Solomon. And so his great-grandfather allowed these women to turn his heart away from God, but Asa stopped it. Asa put an end to it. All the compromising that Solomon did, that Rehoboam did, that Abijah did, it stopped with Asa. What needs to stop with you right now? Has there been some sin in your family? Has there been some sin in your life? It may not have been caused by your family. Maybe you started it. You got to be careful because you don't want to pass that down to the next generation. You don't want your son or your daughter or your godchildren or your nieces or your nephews doing and practicing the foolishness that you did. You know, the greatest example of a changed life is who? Is you, is me. Stop compromising, or compromising will stop you in your tracks. It will prohibit you from being the person that God has willed for you to be. And so what did he do? He destroyed all of this rotten garbage idolatry. All of these articles, the large pole that they thought reached to heaven, all of these forms of supposedly worshiping their gods. It also says in verse 5, he also removed the high places and the shrines and all the cities of Judah and the kingdom. Notice this, experience peace under him. You know, when we close out the message, we're getting to peace, but you're going to notice a constant theme in this message, peace, peace, peace. Well, peace just doesn't happen. You don't just snap your fingers and you have peace. Peace comes when your heart isn't divided. Now, you could have turmoil all around you, but if your heart is right with God, you could put your head on your pillow at night. If your heart is right with God, your heart's not divided, you could face the winds of negativity that are blowing constantly in this world. You could face the hardships that are coming at you. One day, you could even face death with confidence because your heart is right with God. Nobody can hang anything on you. You're like Daniel. The only thing they can say about you is that you pray and follow God. Well, here it is. Asa started removing that which led to compromise. What do you need to remove right now in your life? Maybe it's a paid channel that you should not be watching on cable or something on the internet with your phone. Where does your focus need to be? It needs to be on God. And anything that is compromising that focus needs to go. You need to get rid of it, and you need to do it fast. See, if not, you run the risk of destroying your life. Now, I'm dating myself a little bit, but I remember back in school, they had this program that the NYPD came out with, and it was called SPECTA. And SPECTA stood for School Program to Educate and Control Drug Abuse. It was launched in February of 1985, and the goal was to reach about 250,000 students here in New York. It actually reached more than that. It reached me. I remember I was, I was in maybe the sixth or seventh grade in Holy Rosary, and we were in the basement of the school, and we had a Specter officer, Officer Dugan. I still remember her to this day. Officer Dugan would come, and she would give a speech on drugs. By the way, whether you're young or old, you want nothing to do with drugs because that will compromise not only your present, but potentially your future and your life if you're not careful. Now, Officer Dugan one day brought a guest with her, and I'll never forget this. Some of you have heard me teach on this. Officer Dugan brought this man, Stuart, to come with her. And Stuart shared what we would call his testimony. He talked about how he was a successful businessman, how he had built himself up, cars, homes, had a happy family, but he developed an addiction to drugs and alcohol. Well, it only took about 2 years to literally ruin what he built in a lifetime. He lost his job, he lost all of his money, and eventually his family kicked him out because he was completely reckless. He lost everything. And I'll never forget with Officer Dugan standing right next to him in that basement, and there was Stuart, and he looked at us, this grown man with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Don't repeat this mistake. Don't compromise your future for short-term pleasures today." What are you compromising for tomorrow, what God wants to bless you with, and you're settling for the crumbs of flesh today with? Is it worth it? Of course it's not. Asa went on a removal campaign. He had, like King Josiah, they had to get rid of the false idolatry. You can't seek God and have all this idolatry going on. Asa had to get rid of it. He had to stop the cycle in his family. He had to blaze a new trail. Now, who's Asa's son when you study the scriptures? Oh, a great man of God, King Jehoshaphat. You getting the picture here? King Jehoshaphat learned from the at the knee of his father, Asa. And Jehoshaphat, remember when Jehoshaphat, when attacks came on him, what did he do? King Jehoshaphat ordered that people would pray and a fast. Remember, the enemy nations were coming upon them? But where do you think he learned that from? From his father. His father sought after God. I even remember later on in the next chapter, when there was potential questions, a man of God came to Asa and encouraged him to keep seeking God. And Asa did it, and more peace came, and victory came against the enemy. If you want victory over temptation against your struggles, you want to be a person who's stopping compromise. You don't want to let compromise stop you. Now, there's going to be some tough decisions you got to make along the way. It might be some places that you're going that you don't need to be. It might be some people that are trying to drag you down that you got to make very clearly with love and respect that you can't do this and you can't do that. It might even be a family member. Now, you might say, really? Yes. Remember Asa? He had to tell his grandmother. He had to get his grandmother out of the picture. His grandmother was basically made queen of idolatry, and she had to be removed. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles 15:16. King Asa also removed his grandmother from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah with those Asherah poles. Asa chopped down her obscene image and then crushed it and burned it in the Kidron Valley. The high places were not taken away from Israel, nevertheless. Asa was wholeheartedly devoted his entire life. Here again, his heart wasn't divided. You can't have a devoted heart and then have a divided heart. It's one or the other. Where do you stand? You know, at the end of the day, if you're going to work on trying to please everybody and compromise, you might have a lot of friends, but you're not going to be friends with yourself. I've met people like that. Oh, they got a lot of people who like them. But at the end of the day, when they look in the mirror or they lay their head on their sweet little pillow at night, they don't like the person they've become. I'm reminded of the great 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. This is what is said about him. Throughout his administration, Abraham Lincoln incurred and endured a lot of hostility, and a lot of people had terrible things to say about him, especially with the Civil War and all that was going on. This is what he said one day, and you attribute this to his strong resolve. He said, "I desire so to conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside of me." Do what's right, and you'll be right with yourself, and more importantly, right with God. Stop the compromising. Stop the compromising. Learn from this family of fathers here. Look what it says in 1 Kings 11:6. This is about Solomon. Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight, unlike his father David, and did not remain loyal to the Lord. Let's learn. Let's put a stop to it. Man, Solomon, a great character of the Bible to study, but he allowed his heart to be divided. Let's learn from that. Stop the compromising. Solomon compromised. Look where it got him. Compromise will never work out in your favor. What do you need to stop compromising with right now? Be obedient. Listen to God. Follow his ways. Take notice of this third principle. This is a great principle, especially for families. Focus on this. If you're going to have an undivided heart, if you're going to have a heart that's truly given over to God, here it is. Add blessing, not burden. Add blessing, not burden. You want to be a person who understands that you've been blessed to be a blessing. Now, again, the folly of his grandfather, Rehoboam, was that he added burden on people unnecessarily. When we have a bad attitude, when we're not walking with God, we spew out words that just add burden on people. You don't want to be a taskmaster that way. You want to be a person who's helping people with their burdens. And the best way to do that is to be somebody who is seeking the Lord your God. Look what it says here in 2 Chronicles 14:4. Listen to the blessing that Asa was. What a difference. Talk about a polar opposite of his father and his grandfather, and even his great-grandfather, Solomon. Look what it says here in 2 Chronicles 14:4. He told the people of Judah to seek the Lord God of their ancestors and to carry out the instructions and commands. Now, what does that mean, instructions and commands to carry it out? You might want to write this underneath. That word instructions in the Hebrews, following it, this is giving us the understanding of obedience. We want to obey what God says. That's how we keep our way pure, Psalm 119 says. Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's how we have to think and believe if we're going to add blessing. Asa added blessing to the people he was leading. That is why, even as a Christian, you should be looking when you cast your vote for any office, local government, regional, national. You should be looking to see who supports the ways of God. Because really, a good leader recognizes that whatever power they have is from above. Right now in our nation, we need not man's agenda, we need God's agenda. We'll never love and truly appreciate each other, regardless of our background, economically or racially speaking, or even our generational gap. We will never love each other the way that God has designed if we're void of understanding who the center of love is. God is love, and we look to his word. So we must follow God's instructions. Asa added blessing. And we must be a people who are adding the blessing of God's word to others. It's vital that we think and we act and we believe this way. We run the risk, again, of adding to the problem when we don't add blessing. We must be a loving people. And even on Father's Day, all of us parents, or even if you don't have children of the womb, whether it is children that you have fostered, whether it is godchildren, whether it is nieces and nephews that are in your family, grandchildren, listen, everybody needs to understand God wants you to be a spiritual blessing to all children, by the way. It doesn't just have to be in your home, but especially in our home. We must be people who are a blessing. God gives specific commands for how we're to treat our children and how children are to treat their parents. Look what it says in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. Now, let me say that very loudly for my kids that are listening. Children, obey your parents, please. You're making our hair gray. But this is why. Because you belong to the Lord, for it is the right thing to do. This is what God wants you to do. But guess what? Children are going to like this. Parents also are on the hook. Listen to what it says in verse 4 of this same chapter in Ephesians. Fathers, and this could be applied to mothers too, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction. Notice this, that comes from the Lord. Too many parents are trying to parent from the world. You want to parent, well, what does God tell me to do? Well, God tells us to love our children. I heard a story about a father. He was a very successful person in ministry, but he had this wayward daughter. She really, from her teenage years into her early 20s, was run around the whole lot. She still lived at home, though, which was somewhat of a blessing, but it was a double-edged sword because Dad could never sleep at night. And really, like God, God will not rest until after the second coming and we're home in heaven for good and all that. The father can never rest whether she was at home or she was away. And he prayed night after night, Lord, help me with my daughter. Help me with my daughter. When are you going to change my daughter? And God's spirit impressed this upon his heart. Start loving her. And he stepped back and he said to God in prayer, I do love my daughter. And God impressed upon his heart, stop being so harsh. Stop threatening her with punishment. Stop talking down to her and start loving her. Still be stern because you don't want her going off the rails and destroying her life. But focus more on love and less on being so restrictive. That was the message that God was impressing upon him in prayer. And so from that day forward, the story says the father focused on not being so harsh. And he would say, honey, I love you. And when she would make a mistake, he would say, honey, I forgive you. Let me help you. Now, it didn't change overnight. This is not a sitcom of, it's not an episode of Full House where the music plays and everything works out. No, it took months. But after about a half a year, as he changed, guess who started to change? His daughter started to change. He started adding blessing and he took away the burden. And when you add blessing, now you could still have guardrails. People need those in their life and margins, or children will go off the tracks. I'll go off the tracks. You'll go off the tracks. But when we add blessing, it's a game changer. That's the focus that God wants you and I to have. He wants us to be people who are adding blessing. King Asa did it. He stopped the compromising. He became this great man of God. Now, he wasn't perfect, we find out, but at least he was able to pass this on to his son who would become King Jehoshaphat. He added blessing to the nation. He added blessing to his son, and it resulted, obviously, in continual peace. You know, Asa reigned for 41 years, and God blessed his leadership, and I'm convinced God wants to bless you. And so I leave you with this last point. And it's kind of a play on words, and I'm glad we have it on the screen so you could see it, okay? Because even for those who are listening on the radio, I might spell it out for you, but here it is. No peace, and here it is, K-N-O-W-N. No, that type of no. No peace, K-N-O-W, no God. But no God, N-O, no peace. So you need to know God if you're going to know peace in your mind and in your heart, intellectually, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. You need to know God. You need to seek Almighty God. You need to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will not have peace in this life. No God, no peace. And be careful, because if you have no God in your life and you're not seeking him like Asa's father did, you will give way to counterfeit peace. I read somewhere the other day that there is about 70 million paper bills, $70 million worth of paper bills in circulation of counterfeit money. That is remarkable. Now, just as phony money won't buy you anything once it's put under the light, neither will phony peace help you when you're in a difficult time. You need the peace of God which surpasses all human understandings, my friend. You need the peace of God. The Bible says that if we keep our mind on God, he will give us perfect peace. Know God, and you will know his peace. You say no to God, you will have no peace in this life. Asa experienced peace in the kingdom. He blessed Judah. He added blessing to them by seeking the Lord. He encouraged them to know God, and it added peace. Look what it says here as we button this up in 2 Chronicles 14, 6 through 8. Now, because the land experienced peace, Asa built fortified cities in Judah. No one made war with him in those days because the Lord God gave him rest. Oh, do we need that right now in our country right now? So many people want to say that they have the answer for peace. There's only one source of peace, Jesus Christ. God has been giving people peace throughout the ages, from generation to generation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We need the peace of Christ more than ever. And here in the Old Testament, we see the peace of Almighty God. God gave them rest. My friends, we need rest from this virus. We need rest from all of this dissension right now. We need very practical justice more than ever before, but we also need law and order. It's not one or the other, it's both and. And only until we open our heart up to God and know the peace of God, we will truly have the discernment that God wants us to have. We don't want false peace. We want the peace of Almighty God. That is the heart that we should seek after. Even when we're in the storm, we will have this stillness. The great missionary Amy Carmichael to India once wrote this: "Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall enjoy much peace. If you refuse to be hurried and pressed, if you stay your soul on God, nothing can keep you from that clearness of spirit, which is life and peace. If that stillness, you know what is his will for your life." That is the peace that God wants us to have. That is the heart that he wants us to have. And that comes from Almighty God and extends over into this promise of the Messiah and the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on in verse 7 to say, "So he said to the people of Judah, let's build up these cities and surround them with walls and towers, with doors and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God. We sought him and he gave us rest on every side." And so they built and they succeeded. You know, as you take down the garbage in your life, fortify your life with the walls of Almighty God, with the walls of worship, with the walls of scripture, with the walls of prayer. Fortify your heart so you will not compromise now or never in your life, that you will walk with the Lord your God, and as a result, he will give you rest and peace. Because after all, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. You know, Asa did all of this, and he wasn't living in the reality of what you and I are living in, which is the Son of God has come, and he has given us peace eternally. He's made peace with God. If you open your heart to Jesus Christ, that's the core of the gospel. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. If you open your heart to God and you trust in Christ as your Savior, repent of your sins, you have peace with God. And as you have peace with God, you're able to have the peace of God in this life. Because Jesus is our peace. Now, he doesn't give as the world gives. He gives a perfect peace. He gives a peace that surpasses truly all human turmoil. It's a peace that we need to know. John 14, 27 says it this way. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled or be afraid." That's the message for you and I today. Do not be afraid as we're on this crazy ride that we're on called life. You know, it's been one thing after another this year. I've heard so many people say, "I wish this year never happened," but it has, and we're here, and we're on these train tracks right now. But here's the message. Let not your hearts be troubled. The peace of Jesus Christ, the peace that parted the Red Sea, the peace that was promised to come in the form of the Messiah, the peace that went to the cross and made peace with God, the peace that rose Christ from the dead, the peace that sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, is available for you and me today, even though it's a crazy ride right now. And so I close with this story, especially on Father's Day. During the French War, a train carrying important dispatches was heading for headquarters, and it was compelled to go over 60 miles per hour on this very rough track in order to reach its destination. The engineer that was the bearer of the dispatches had his wife and his young child on the train with him. They were riding in coach, the story says. Now, every moment, and as the train kept riding, it kept leaping a little bit as it was going so fast. People were screaming and holding on for dear life. Everybody on the train, including the engineer's wife, was scared for her life, except one person. His young daughter, who was not more than 6 years of age. When the train stopped and everybody marveled at her calmness, a reporter asked her, "Why were you so calm?" And this is what she said. You ready for this? Happy as a bird, by the way. She laughed and she said, "Well, my father is at the engine. And so there's no need to worry. You know, as she said that, her father hopped off the train and wiping the sweat off his face, the child then leaped in her father's arms and he held her. And she had a smile of contentment and peace that she had during the rough train ride. I encourage you today that no matter how rough your ride is in your life right now, let's have an undivided heart so we can enjoy the peace of Almighty God. Let's give our heart to Christ if we've never done so before. And if we have walked away, if we've made some mistakes like Rehoboam or Solomon or Asa's father, Abijah, let's get it right with God. Let's stop it now. Let's give our heart to Christ. Let's know the peace of God by knowing God. And that'll be all the peace we need in this life. And so glory be to God for the peace he's given us to in the past, given to you and I in the past. And glory be to God for the peace that he promises to come. I pray you have that peace today, whether you're watching or listening, that you know Jesus Christ, that you're walking in the truth and the counsel of his word. I pray that today on this Father's Day, like this little girl, that you know that your heavenly Father is at the controls. He's at the engine. No matter how rough the ride is, he's got it. It's under control, not to worry. I pray that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've trusted in him as the peace of your life. And may that peace then sustain you now and whatever rough tracks you have ahead of you. I pray that you've received it today. And let's pray now and give God thanks for this message and all the sustaining peace and grace that he's given to us all throughout this quarantine. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. Thank you that peace has been made, that you've made peace on the cross so that we can have peace with our Heavenly Father. We ask now that we would be people of peace, that like Asa, if we need to put a stop to certain things, we would. We thank you for the future peace that you're going to give us. Bless our church, bless the homes, the families, bless our country with the real peace that comes from the cross and from the empty tomb. We sow these prayers now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.